Do you think life is simpler after you retire? For some, it's actually more complicated when facing issues about health, estate plans, probate, long-term care, and more. That's why attorney CPA Joe Cordell hosts Elder Talk with Joe Cordell, providing smart solutions for seniors and an open forum for older adults with important questions about their future. Here's attorney CPA Joe Cordell.
Welcome to another episode of Elder Talk. How many of you are contemplating a move? I'm willing to bet that, knowing this audience as I do, that a large percentage of you have either already moved, which you still have some lingering issues, but more importantly, I think there's a large segment of you who are contemplating moving. I mean, often we have to think about this as we get older, change circumstances, change needs. Well, today we have a guest who is actually a consultant for such people. He's dedicated his career to this business that he has now, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, is devoted to helping people transition through this difficult, multi-factor landscape that people face when they try to decide, where should I move, or even should I move? Introduce our guest, will you, Susan?
Our guest today is Charlie Shepard. Now, Charlie spent 25 years as an executive sales and marketing manager with companies such as Duracell Batteries and Coca-Cola, and he also owned an investment advisory firm. Now, a few years ago, he said after helping family members transition out of their family home, he and his wife, Beth, opened Smooth Transitions of St. Louis, which is a senior move management company, and they have helped over 300 families here in St. Louis transition from a larger home to either an apartment, a condo, a senior living community, or long-term care. And they have one goal, and this is what I think is so great. The goal is to help ease the emotional and physical concerns of a transition. Welcome, and thank you for joining us today.
Nice to be here.
And what a great idea for a profession. I mean, this type of move occurs at a time when people are especially challenged in a number of ways. Their health, maybe their cognitive abilities, maybe just the fact that there are so many possibilities that they're not sure what they should do. And I think the mistake that many people make is, in those circumstances, they do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me how you made the decision to go into this area with this business, and tell me the typical scenario that your clients face.
Okay, yeah. Well, we are a senior move manager, and principally what a senior move manager is, an organization that assists seniors in downsizing from their home to an apartment, a smaller house, a condominium, or a retirement community. And it really, each move requires a customized approach. I mean, how much furniture, how big is your house, how big is your family, do you want to sell a bunch of stuff? All of these are factors that enter into kind of a customized approach and solution for your move. And by coming up with the correct solution, then you're really able to reduce the emotional stress, the physical stress for the senior. So we work very closely with retirement centers, realtors, healthcare providers, and
moving companies.
And moving companies, yeah, we outsource the move ourselves, and as Susan mentioned, we're a member of NASM, which is the National Association of Senior Move Managers.
I
didn't either.
Yeah, and what that does is assure that we, as a senior move manager, complying to a certain standard of ethics, that we've gotten training, that we're getting continuing education, and that we're networking and getting good, solid ideas on how to solve future problems. So, you know, that's principally what a senior move manager does, and I'd be happy to kind of share with you why we got into it.
Well, wait, I'm curious, though, who comes to you typically first? Is it a child of your future client, or is it often the elder person themselves?
Well, the answer certainly is both, but I would say to you, interestingly enough, most times it's the senior.
Really?
But the senior.
Now, why are you surprised at that?
I am surprised at that.
Well, and incidentally, I can think of examples of, in fact, very near examples, where it's the children who realize first that the move needed to occur. Mm-hmm. And often the elder person, typically a parent, is reluctant to leave familiar environment. Do you run into that?
You bet we do. And what generally happens is that, you know, at the holidays, everybody's sitting around and there's
holidays.
A conversation. Mm-hmm. There's a conversation and it gravitates towards, you know, mom or dad. Hey, how would you like to go to a retirement community? And there's some conversation. And interestingly enough, the senior takes some ownership in that. And they decide, you know, well, yeah, I've talked to my friends, and I'd like to go to a place that has activities where I can meet people, where the cooking's good. But interestingly enough, what they'll say is, what am I going to do with all my stuff?
I can see how that's mm-hmm. a big issue. Mm-hmm. I mean, downsizing includes the word down.
Right. Mm.
And that's tough.
And that's the opposite of what we've spent the majority of our life doing.
Right, right.
We've spent the majority of our life gathering and getting and family memories and school books and, you know, kid memorabilia. You can tell where I am as a mom. But, uh-huh. you know, my kids are getting ready to move out. And so we have all that stuff there.
Yeah, you don't have to be a hoarder to have over time seen things that were important to you. As you indicated, often they're you foresee them becoming heirlooms, though they may in fact end up in the trash.
Yeah, they're probably going to
soon after
the trash.
We pass. Mm-hmm. But you know, how do you decide which of those things to let go of? So you help people make these decisions?
That's correct. We go through a pretty comprehensive sorting process with them and help them decide what's appropriate to take to the community, what's appropriate to sell, what's appropriate to give to the family. And in some cases, as you mentioned, Joe, there's a need to donate and to dispose.
And so these people that you're working with, these clients, they're typically around what age? Are they more 60s or are they more 80s?
No, I would say they're 70, 80, and 90 because most seniors have become very affluent. They've been participating in investments since the bull market started in World War II.
And let me hurry to clarify that. That's affluent by historical standards.
Right, right. Yeah. And they've done, you know, very, very, very well. And so they're just looking for to stay in their home for as long as they can, which is reasonable. And they've been able to do that, you know, a lot longer than maybe other generations. So when it comes time, that 75th, 80th, that seasonal dinner when everybody has a conversation, they're very prepared to go to a community. And that's why you see communities everywhere now.
And why can I so easily imagine these conversations at Thanksgiving and Christmas?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because mm-hmm. that's really the only occasion for many families when everyone is together.
Right.
And I can see how these conversations come up. Another thing is that, and while I agree it makes a lot of sense, and I've read statistics that there's nothing more important to people as they age than staying home, or meaning in a familiar place, familiar neighborhood, church, everything that they associate with their present home. But I think a lot of these people don't realize the really cool places that are out there now. I mean, that stereotype of a nursing home that they may have seen with one of their ancestors is long gone. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you look at these really cool places with all these great facilities and community activities, it's not a place where you kind of go to age. It's a place where you go to live.
Mm-hmm. 2 points. Number one, when we're in talking to the senior and the family, we on occasion refer to them as, and appropriately so, as country clubs. They really are country clubs. I mean, there's pools, there's activities, there's great meal. Every community has like a well-renowned chef, you know. So they really do a great job. The second thing that we market and we believe strongly is that this is an adventure. This is just a next phase in their life. So approach it with excitement and enthusiasm. In the beginning, that's that's a challenge, okay, because there is stress associated with the move and the departure from your home.
And the unknown.
And the unknown.
Yeah, they fear the unknown, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you really start to see ownership and an embracing take place, enthusiasm, excitement to move to the community.
Well, and I think often there's often an event that you might be thinking about it, but that event will sometimes be enough to push you over the edge. I mean, at least a lot of the family members that I've known, they've been thinking about it. Well, we should, I might, but then there's an event, someone's health changes, or someone has had maybe even a heart attack and has recovered, but they suddenly get the point that I'm going, life is going to end at some point, life is going to change, and now it's time to do something about it.
Yeah, I'm wondering, I would guess that maybe as much as half the time there's some triggering event. Is that true?
Yes, and the catalysts are health. Another catalyst is the loss of a spouse. Mm-hmm. Another catalyst is I just can't take care of this home anymore.
Stairs.
And I'll tell you, another one, too, is a recognition of loneliness, of just wanting to get out of the home and to socialize with people on a regular basis.
So tell me then, you obviously work with a variety of different professionals who would be involved in this move. So you kind of are, I assume, at the center coordinating these various professionals that are necessary when you do a move. How do you get compensated?
Well, we get compensated based on our time. So anything that that we outsource, and I'll give you a couple examples. We outsource the move, but we manage the move. Okay, we outsource the hauling of donations to the charity. So we outsource an estate sale. So there's several things that we outsource, and we outsource those, we pay for those, and the client then pays our price. There's no upcharge to the senior for that. We only get compensated for the time that we put into the project, which would include things like managing the project, packing, unpacking, arranging transportation, basically coordination of donations. And one big last component is the disposal at the end of, when the house has been sold, there's the need to remove lumber to pesticides, paints, things like that.
Various stuff. Mm-hmm.
Right.
But that might have environmental implications.
Right. So what would you do if I called? Okay, so can you walk us through the whole process? What would you do if my mother has called and said, all right, I'm ready. What can you do? Where do I begin?
Well, step one is, and happens with most senior move managers and really any professional, is a free consultation. So I'll come out to the home and we'll spend an hour and a half. And what we're going to do is we're going to talk about what our services are, okay? And then from there, we'll take a look at the home and see how much stuff there is. And then based on services and based on stuff, then there is an estimate that is given to the client, okay? Now, remember that estimate is all based on a customized solution for them. As my wife best says, we can do as much or as little as they'd like us to do. So we may go in, talk about our five steps, which we'll discuss in a minute. And it's menu driven. So somebody might say to us, hey, we just want you to move us. We're not interested in the other steps.
We'll take care of that ourselves.
We'll take care of that ourselves. Or within the move itself, they may say, you know what? Please help us, design the apartment, help us sort, help us pack, and then transport the items to the new location. But just leave the boxes packed, because we'll unpack and then we'll design the rest of the apartment.
So people can do this a la carte.
They can do it a la carte.
And your time estimate on the front end, that's based on the number of hours you anticipate
Correct.
Spending?
It's like painting a house. You know, I estimate the amount of time that it's going to take me to complete the project.
Now, are you billing on an hourly basis?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I like that. And if I may ask, what is your hourly rate?
$60 per hour per person.
It's very reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
I expected you to say 100 and something. But the reason I like that is I bill by the hour, too, as a lawyer. But I'm always uneasy when I'm dealing with, for example, interior decorators. Drives me nuts. They're making money everywhere they turn. They're making money from when they buy furniture. There's a markup. They're getting paid through these various people that they're hiring to do different things as part of the interior design. In addition to that, you're paying them hourly.
Mm-hmm.
So you never really know how much they're making and where the profit's coming from. And as a professional in a field where it's a big deal to know exactly how somebody's getting paid, because if somebody else is paying somebody that's working for me, I'm cautious, because I know that their loyalties tend to be, all of us are human, loyalties tend to be with where your money's coming from. So I'm glad to hear that in this case, too, you're paid on an hourly basis and you don't collect up charges from people that you deal with, the numerous people. So it seems kind of like that this role of being a senior professional move advisor is essentially similar to a general contractor, that you have to work with a number of other professionals, but you assume the responsibility of interacting and assuring that they do good jobs.
Right. And general contractor is a very good analogy without the markup, okay, that a lot of general contractors will send out to subs. So, when we invoice a client, what they'll do is they'll put down a deposit, and then that invoice at the end of the project will include an accounting and an itemized sheet that shows the hours that we put in, the activity that we did, how many hours, and what the rate is. And then that bill is put on the invoice. And then if there is other providers involved, you'll get a copy of the receipt from the moving company. So if the move was $1,200, at the bottom, attached to the invoice will be an invoice for $1,200, no upcharge.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me give a word of advice to our listeners, and this is true generally. If anybody tells you they're giving you a service and it's free to you, you should duck, or you should hang on to your wallet, because you can be sure no one is providing that service free. Somebody else is paying them, which means that their loyalties probably would lie somewhere else. So, I think that is, as a general rule of thumb, when you can deal with professionals you know what they are earning and how they're earning it, and they're providing detailed time records, et cetera, as you guys do also, then I think that's something that at least you can control your expenses.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a break. And when we come back, Charlie, let's talk about what you would say to give as advice. Maybe five or six or seven things, however much time we have left. How much time do we have?
Oh, we still have about 30 minutes, 20, 30 minutes.
Okay, so we'll take the rest of the time, and we'll get from you some suggestions for people who are considering this move. Back in a moment.
You're listening to Elder Talk with Joe Cordell, providing smart solutions for seniors, presented by Cordell Planning Partners, your elder law advisors, and now attorney CPA Joe Cordell.
Welcome back to Elder Talk. We're continuing our talk with Charlie Shepard, who is a specialist and a consultant regarding senior moves. He's a senior moves manager. Until recently, Susan, we didn't know such a profession existed.
I did not.
But apparently there is an association of senior move managers. They get certified, as you described a while ago. So we're picking up with where we left off before the break. And we had kind of walked through the process where somebody contacts you, you go to their home, you talk about what is it that they intend to do. Maybe you even give them some ideas about perhaps some things they should intend to do, maybe moves they can make, places they can go. I assume you provide that advice also. Are you familiar with the various facilities in town? Can someone ask you, gee, I like to do this, this, and this. Can you tell me what facilities would offer those sorts of benefits or amenities?
Sure. We work with all the communities in St. Louis, so we're very familiar with that, and we could certainly point you in the right direction. I guess as a continuation of the consulting question, I would suggest that the seniors do their homework, you know, first things first. And the first part of the homework is talking to professionals. So talk to your retirement community. They're obviously recruiting seniors all the time, and they're a wealth of information about transitioning into a senior community. A second place to talk to is your family, like we talked about at the holiday season. Sit down with them. Nobody knows you better than your family. They know what your hot buttons are, your cold buttons are, how much you want to do this, how much you want to leave the home, if leaving the home. So your family is an important resource. But most importantly, talk to friends, especially friends that have already downsized, and ask the question, well, what did you like about it? What didn't you like about downsizing? If you had to do it all over again, what would you change? And they may just surprise you with what they say. Well, you know what? If I did it all over again, I would unpack myself. Or they might say I'd get a senior move manager. Or just listen to those things and kind of accumulate information. And remember that not everybody's opinion is equal. Lean on the people that you trust the most, and that will give you, I think, pretty good direction on visiting a community.
Well, Charlie, let me ask you this, though. I know that some people want to move. I assume most people want to move into some sort of independent care arrangement. They want to move from their house into a place mm-hmm. where they're free to do what they want independently. Sometimes that'll be a community, and I suspect sometimes it's not a technical community as we think of many of these communities that have a series of phases. So you come in, you're independent living, you progress from independent to dependent to assisted living, et cetera, and then finally perhaps to skilled care. But what about the people who simply say, you know, I want to move from this house into a condominium, a smaller condominium? Do you advise them or do you express opinions about whether they should anticipate further decline and that perhaps that move might be simply a stopgap measure for something that's likely to occur in the next year or two?
We don't do too much of that because that starts getting into almost healthcare advice and stuff. So, but certainly if a client is interested in going from a large home to a smaller home, or they're looking to go from a large home to a condominium or an apartment, that's fine. Most of our clients are transitioning into a retirement community. And that may be, in most cases, that's independent living.
To begin with. Uh-huh.
And then that can evolve to assisted living or skilled nursing. I mean, it can do, you know,
They're called continuing care mm-hmm. communities.
Right. And so, but we wouldn't give direct advice on that, but we will certainly build a plan that would accommodate a smaller home, a condominium, or an apartment.
So comment generally, though. So someone is talking to you, perhaps they're 75 years old. They're saying, gee, I think I want to move out of my house into a condominium. Wouldn't it more often than not be wise to anticipate that there may be further decline and choose a place where you won't have to move again?
Well, where I'd come out and start selling is the fact that, you know, hey, these retirement communities are country clubs.
They're fun.
They're activities. They're great food. You know, those kinds of things you're not getting at a condominium.
Yeah, that's right. So give us some more tips. Give us some more insider ideas. And I like the way we're doing this. We're proceeding kind of chronologically.
Mm-hmm. So we've had the consultation. We know that we want to do this. And now I've said, okay, Charlie, You're on. What's first? What do we do?
Okay, so the first thing you have to think about are there's two important dates. First is timing for the new location. So if you are going to go to a community, you'll sign a lease, and you'll need to have a specific date, okay? And secondly, once you have that date, then you start to consider, well, when are you going to sell the current home? And those two dates trigger everything. Those are the two dates that start to build your plan and allow the project to move forward.
But what if somebody says to you, well, I want to wait until I sell my house, then I'm going to move?
Perfect question, okay? Because what can happen is you can, with some people, what they'll want to do is move first, get situated, and be able to come back to their house and maybe get some heirlooms that they didn't take. Or a lot of people will say, look, I want to sell my house first, and then I want to move into the into the community.
And money might drive that decision.
Money drives a lot of that. I'd say money drives 75% of it, and emotion drives 25% of it.
Do you have a preference as somebody who's seen this many times?
Well, certainly the preference would be move the senior first, okay, and then they get over the community. They're acclimated. They're comfortable. They've been able to take some things back if they wanted to, bring some stuff from the old home mm-hmm. to the community, and there becomes kind of an equilibrium and a satisfaction that occurs. Now, once that happens, then the family could come in and take the items that they are going to be gifted by mom or by dad. And then the whole rest of the process, which we'll conclude with here, but the whole rest of the process can unfold without the senior being there and being stressed by the final portions of the process.
So let's assume, though, for financial reasons that they're in that group that feels they have to sell first. I think it's probably not realistic often to get more than 30 days before closing.
Close, right.
I know sometimes you may have a buyer who's willing to extend beyond that, but let's assume that they're willing to only go out 30 days, and some would go out less because they want in the house. So when someone is dealing with that time frame, 30 days to be out of there, that means that they have to have found their place before they actually have a seller who signed a contract.
And 30 days to get rid of 30 years of stuff in your house.
Yeah.
And that's a lot.
And again, Joe, you asked me which one I prefer, because with the one we're just talking about now is now the pressure shifts immediately to the senior move manager, because we have an abbreviated time frame we have a closing that we have to meet. So, you know, donations and disposal and stuff has to happen in a very quick way.
There's not time to pick up each one of those photographs and think right. thought about shall I keep this or shall I not?
Well, and so here's what I think happens. Maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but it goes in a box and then you hand the box to your child. Mm-hmm. And then the child says, what am I supposed to do with this, Mom? That's what I think happens a lot.
Yeah.
So how much do you run into that, where a lot of times people just say, well, my kids will take it, but then the kids maybe don't really want that?
Well, the kids and the family and the friends are a good avenue for heirlooms and for treasures. I mean, they really are. And you should be thinking about that when you, when you leave your home, because you can't take everything. You only want to be able to take the real treasures that are important to your heart. And the balance, you want to be able to go visit your kids and see them getting enjoyment out of your gifts, and that will give you happiness too.
Well, so now what do you recommend for things like, let's say, Christmas decorations? Okay, I know we've talked about holidays. A lot of times seniors don't want to quit celebrating those things. My grandmother decorated until the year that she could no longer decorate, in her 90s. And so, but there's not a lot of room to store the family Christmas tree or the wreath that was always there. And sometimes people have these things that are all, every year the Advent calendar goes up. What do you recommend with that type of thing?
Generally speaking, when you move into a community, you get a storage area. It's a very small storage area. But I can tell you the consistency with what I put in there is unreal. And what goes in there are Christmas tree, Christmas ornaments, seasonal items.
Susan, are you sure you haven't done this?
I'm pretty sure I haven't done this yet.
Suitcases, okay, for traveling, and file cabinets. Those are the three things mm-hmm. that generally go into storage.
I think that there was a time when you gave furniture and such things to your children, and they were grateful for them. I mean, they needed them. But I'm reading now, and I'm seeing now that often this 55-year-old son or daughter have a house full of furniture,
mm-hmm.
and so they feel guilty because they know this furniture that would otherwise be sold is something that's been in the family for some time. So they're torn between the fact that they don't really need it and their reluctance to see it go. Do you see that conundrum often?
You do see it because this new generation are minimalists. They're just not keeping the amount of stuff that I did when I was building a family. You know, in my basement, I had all my in-laws and all my parents' stuff because I didn't want to part with it. There was a lot of sentimental and a lot of functional reason for me to keep that. But nowadays, this new generation is their homes aren't as big, and they want their stuff. They don't want necessarily their parents' stuff.
Yeah, it does mean that the tide has shifted, and that so now there's just a lot of things that people, that we as we age, myself included, I'm beginning to realize that my daughters are not as excited about my stuff as I am.
And I do think there's been a little bit of shifting in the quality of merchandise too as well. So years ago you had not just family heirlooms, but they were heirlooms because they were high quality, well-built furniture that it was often handmade or, you know, that everything fit together nicely. Whereas if I buy something at IKEA, it's really probably not going to be that exciting to pass along to my kids because it's really probably not going to be the greatest of quality. I think that has entered into it as well, that there's a little bit of a throwaway mentality of, oh, it's easier or cheaper or better to replace it.
Right, right.
Yeah. That you see it all around you. Mm-hmm. So then you described how it's a good idea to talk to people you know who've already been through this for guidance, information, to consider the timing of when you do these things. And assuming then that someone has the ability to go ahead and move into a place before they've actually sold theirs so that they can do this progressive move, as you describe it, rather than the abrupt change. What other suggestions would you have for people as they're contemplating this?
I just think very quickly, Joe, that the considerations are, we talked about the timing of the house, timing of the community is very important, but how big is the downsize? Are you going from a 6-bedroom house to a 2-bedroom apartment? That's what I did, okay? And that was a major shift with a lot of stuff. It's a lot different and easier, although still stressful, to go from a 3-bedroom house to a 2-bedroom apartment. So how big is the downsize?
Mm-hmm.
Also, remember, your garage and your basement, for all intents and purposes, must be eliminated. Okay? Mm. You will
That's
not.
That's a hard one.
That's the two most important storage areas in the house.
It's very difficult, okay? Very difficult. And there is a lot of stuff. Probably 50% of the stuff in the house is in basements
mm-hmm.
and in garages. So that will have to be eliminated because you'll have minimal storage at your new place, as we talked. Also, understand, are the family members that are supporting you, are they going to be advisors and support, or are they going to be worker bees and helping you? Okay, because if they live out of town or if they have a big family, your kids may not be able to help you as much as needed. Many times when we work with clients, their kids are out of town or their kids have kids, and the whole reason that they're contracting with us is because nobody has time to support them in the endeavor. And, of course, budgets, okay? Take a look at how much everything is going to cost. And that would that starts with, you know, with realtors, with senior move managers, with the community that you're going to. It all comes down to dollars, and you want to make sure you're making a financially wise decision.
Let me ask you something specifically about the move. I know that they're one of the options whenever you hire a moving company is that they pack everything for you. They go through and take everything off the shelves, and they carefully pack it, which is a lot of the work. Mm-hmm. I would argue that that's more work, maybe not more muscle power, but that's more work than just carrying it to the truck and moving it and carrying it off. How many people choose to have someone come in and do that, or do they have these worker bee relatives that you're describing, their kids who can come in and take the time to do that, or perhaps your clients themselves?
Well, see, we'll pack and we'll unpack for the client. So that's something that we can do.
You yourself, your company.
That our company.
And you bill for that.
Yes. And the reason we would do that versus having a mover do that, although you could have a mover come in and pack or unpack, but what we do is participate in the sorting, okay? And we advise on what we think you should take and what you should not take. Now, ultimately, the client makes that decision. They're the boss, okay? But, you know, if you have a big pile of stuff in your home that's all going to the condominium, I might have to step up and say, hey, you've got too much stuff, you know. So
you bring discretion to it as opposed to Guido, who might just come in and or whoever. But somebody who, you know, they're going to.
I got it.
You point over there and you say that stuff goes in this container. Yeah. But instead, you participate in the decision. You consult. You call their attention, et cetera. And that's $60 an hour.
Right.
Okay.
And the real beauty about that is that the reason Beth and I got in this was just to give back and to problem solve and help people, because it's just like kind of the HGTV, you know, the reveal at the end of the process when the client comes in and sees all their treasures and sees all their artwork and their favorite couch and everything, all their kitchen goods put away. And they walk in the room, and this has all happened within 24 hours, there's literally a tear in their eye and a big hug that says, you know, I couldn't have done it without you. And that's what really makes you feel good, and that's why Beth and I got into this business.
So you'll take the merchandise, the things from the older house, and get it all set up and make the new house feel like home.
That's exactly what our objective is to make it feel like home without all the stuff.
Mm-hmm. So you know, I can see how, if it were my parents, how I would want to invest in this, because the worst scenario is one in which your parents arrive or they're thinking the next morning, the first day they get out of bed, and their thought is, oh, my God, what have I done?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing you don't want.
Mm-hmm.
And only by carefully shepherding this through and setting it up properly so that it's a new completed picture and it's a picture that is pleasing, that they will be glad that they've done this.
And you don't want to have them mad at you. I mean, that's what I think.
That's the number one objective.
That's what I really think you can do, is you can provide that objective opinion where you can help them sort through what is really important, what do you really need to take, what has been that family mm-hmm. heirloom, without all the emotion involved and yet the caring approach.
And I would argue you have more credibility than I do probably with my parents in terms of these sorts of things. It's interesting, when you're in the inside as a child, you know, maybe you've said it times before and, you know, your parents are tired of hearing, or they discount it. I'm sure I'll discount my kids telling me things someday. But it's good to have somebody who's a third party.
Yeah, because we really are objective, and I've done this so many times that ultimately the client's the boss. okay? And if you want furniture around the entire perimeter of your apartment, then that's what we'll do for you. But along the way, you can be assured that as a professional, I'll comment several times that you have too much furniture or too much stuff going into that apartment.
Are there some other things you shouldn't do when you move?
There really is. First of all, don't crowd your apartment, okay? Have the discipline to make the decisions, albeit very difficult. It's understood, but don't have too much stuff. Let the apartment inhale and exhale and have comfort to it. Also, don't rely on storage. Don't say, I'm going to put all this stuff in storage, because a storage is kind of like an annuity in reverse. You know, every month, $250.
You're paying for that stuff.
$250, and nobody goes over there. Nobody goes over there. And then 4 years later, somebody says, we're paying too much for storage. Mm-hmm. But then you've already spent.
You've bought it three times.
Right.
Right, exactly. So storage is, to us, is a four-letter word, unless it's a short-term, bills coming in from Chicago and get renting a U-Haul in 6 months, and then you store it, okay, if there's an immediate solution for it. But and I think one of the biggest don'ts is don't overextend yourself. Don't overextend yourself emotionally, physically, or financially. Get that group around you that's gonna support you.
So, do you often see that there are sales by way of garage sales, or perhaps sales in bulk to whether it's people who do auctions, estate auctions,
estate,
et cetera?
Or estate auctions.
Yeah, and that's a great question. I'm going to answer that by kind of giving you quickly the 5-step downsizing process. It's very easy to understand, but a little bit more difficult to do. And number one is the move, and that starts with the design and making sure you got the right items that are going to the apartment, sorting, packing, transporting, unpacking, and then putting everything away and implementing the design. The second thing is then your family comes in and selects items that you're going to gift them. And that's a very important process. The third, Joe, to your question, is the sell. And that's when you have an estate sale. If you have enough quality and quantity of items, then you can justify an estate sale. Not everything sells, so the fourth step is donations. And donations, we can itemize that for tax deductions if appropriate, and you pick the charity of your choice. Lastly, the fifth step is the disposal, which then you take latex paints, insecticides, lumber, any of that kind of stuff, and get it out of the home, and then the home is ready to either occupy or list with a realtor.
That was Charlie Shepard, Smooth Transitions of St. Louis. Time flies.
Time does.
Well, till next time, this has been Elder Talk. Take care. Charlie Shepard of Smooth Transitions of St. Louis. What's the contact info?
If you want to get in touch with Charlie, you can talk with him at charlie@smoothtransitionsstl.com or give him a call at 314-368-0285.
Another episode of Elder Talk. Till next time, take care.
You've been listening to Elder Talk with Joe Cordell, providing smart solutions for seniors with attorney CPA Joe Cordell. Listen again next Saturday for another edition of Elder Talk with Joe Cordell, sponsored by Cordell Planning Partners, your elder law advisors. For more information, visit eldercarelaw.com. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely on advertisements.